For our sermon this evening, we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Please join me there. I'll read verses 1 through 5, and the sermon is on verse 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting with verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. Time to embrace, and a time to shun embracing. Please pray with me again. Father, help us now as we come to your word. Give us good understanding that we would know what time it is in each season of our lives and in each relationship that we have, that we would know those things to cling to and those things to throw away. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This idea of there being a time for everything in our lives, even the idea of a time for war and a time for peace. Some would look and say, there is never a time for war. There is never the time to take a life. But Scripture gives us a different picture, that there is a time to take life. There is a time to give life. There is a time to live. That there is a time to die. We see in Scripture also the principle that we are to never let kindness and truth leave us. And yet we are told that there is a time to kill, and that looks like an unkindness. I've used the example a number of times about there being a time for everything. And for example, my sons would have known in their young lives that they were not to drag their little sister around by her hair. That would be a given rule. That would be an unkindness. But if there was a time, we could imagine if a child fell into a campfire. If that's in such a moment, that would be a time to grab their little sister by her hair and pull her out. And one time, that would be an unkindness. And another time, it would be kindness. Even in the midst of the church, there are times to be kind and to speak gently and to deal with one another with a gentleness. There are also times where things are more urgent than that, when someone could be in a severe sin. It's doing them harm or doing their family harm, doing the church harm. And there could be a time for a necessary testimony against someone and their actions, even publicly. This would look unkind, but it would be being kind to Christ and being kind to the church. Now, in our dealings with verse 5, and we'll look at that again, there is a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. All of us who have moved into adolescence, we have realized that there is a time to embrace. And we have realized also that there is a time to shun embracing, where embracing another individual could be harmful to us. It could be harmful to them. And as we move through our lives and we have these dealings with our own hearts, we see that there will be a time for things and people to be gathered into our lives, and there will be a time for things and people to be removed from our lives. And we'll look at these principles. So the call for you this evening is to gather, throw, shun, and embrace for Christ's sake. Now, why are there these needs, and why do we struggle so hard against these needs? A time to gather and a time to throw, a time to put things off. Perhaps you in your life have had things that were in your life that were a stumbling block for you. Sometimes it's a freedom that it would seem that Christ has given us, a freedom to have something or to hold on to something Sometimes it's a luxury that we've been given. And even extreme, or even in some extreme circumstances, maybe it seems like something that is a necessity for us. Something that we imagine that we need. But it's something that must be ripped away from our lives. Something that must be taken away. Well, why do we struggle with things being taken away from us? Why do we struggle with giving up these things that are actually stumbling blocks to us and harmful to us and injurious to us? Well, the reason would be our own hardness of heart. We came across that idea in Ephesians chapter 4, where we talked about putting on the likeness of Christ as we are putting off the old man, the struggles that we have in our ignorance because of the hardness of our heart. Our first step is for you to look at the hard places in your heart. It may be helpful for you just to diagnose that place in your heart where you're holding on to sin, or you're holding on to a stumbling block, something that is wrong for you that Christ would have you give up. Jesus responds to the hard heart in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, after looking around at them with anger, saying that our Lord looked at people assembled together in the synagogue, that is in church, with anger. After looking around at them with anger, and we see his anger is flowing from a grief in him, after looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. Christ looks at you. He looks at each of us in these areas where we're holding on to our sin, and there is a grief in Christ because he has a kind heart towards you. He doesn't want just what seems to give you comfort in the moment. He doesn't want just what seems to be good for you. He wants you to have what is really good for you. Now, those of us who have lived a while, we know that sometimes the things that are best for us actually hurt. He would give us what we need, and other things are taken away. And sometimes we hold on to these other things so tightly, he would rip it from our hands in order to save us, as if someone were being dragged by the hair out of a fire. Hebrews 3:15 makes this statement. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He speaks, and he would reveal these hard areas in your heart for you to stop and to take notice of these places and to deal with them, that our hearts would no longer be calloused. In Luke 8:13, talks about the word not accomplishing everything that it could when it is given. Those on rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, then in a time of temptation, fall away. And Ecclesiastes 3 tells us there is a time to embrace, but there is that time to shun embracing. There is a time to gather stones, and we can look at what that can mean for us spiritually and practically in our lives, but there's also that time to throw away these hard things that are not good for us and are harmful to us, which brings us to our second step. Throw the stones from your heart. Ecclesiastes 3:5, the first part. A time to throw stones. Hosea 10:12. So, with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. There is a work that needs done on our hearts. If you've ever plowed a piece of field that has not been plowed in a long time, or plowed a yard, You go in and you work and you dig this hard soil to turn it over so that good things can grow there. You have these hard places in your heart. Places where Christ has not worked before, or he hasn't worked in a long time. Places that need your attention for you to look and to see these hard places and to deal with them. That is to throw these stones and these hard places from your heart. Mark 4:18-19. And the others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It's a hard thing for us to look and ask the question, is the word being fruitful in my life? Am I being changed? Am I growing? Am I putting off the love for other things and putting on the love and the likeness of Christ Jesus? Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes troubles, and by it many be defiled. This hardness of heart and this bitterness that is present is there when there is not that affection for Christ, that affection for his word, and that affection for one another. And these hard and these ugly and these bitter places, these calloused areas need a surgery done, where we would open up our chest and show our hard hearts to Christ, reveal our hearts to his word and say, do your surgery. Cut away these hard places and give me a heart of flesh. So this work that we are doing, this putting off and putting on, as was referenced in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, this brings us to our third place. Replace bitterness with godly affection. Now there is an affection in this life. It is not a godly affection. A place where we go and things and people that we would cling to, even things that we would rejoice in that are not of Christ. Proverbs 4:20-21 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. There is a beautiful affection for the word of Christ when we see it as the most important possession that we have. That his words are life. His words restore our soul. His words make us alive. His words teach us about who he is. We're given this pressure and this encouragement in Deuteronomy 11:18. You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul. What would that look like for you daily? To impress his words on your heart and on your soul daily. Take a moment and reflect on that. What would that application be for you? What would it look like to take his word and to analyze your heart, to see what must be changed in accordance with life and in accordance with love for God and in accordance with love for one another, and we would adjust our steps? Isaiah 55:10-11 gives us this hopeful promise. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. The word is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And his word will accomplish what he sends it to do. And you are in a mighty place and in a powerful place in your relationship with Christ, in relationship to one another, in relationship to his word, where you go to his word, you look at what it says, and you apply it to your heart. You will be strengthened and encouraged, and you will be blessed, and God will accomplish what he desires to do in your life. Now, as we are putting on this aspect, as we are gathering, and as we are putting off, we come to the gathering aspect of it, and this is our fourth step, to build the right walls. Walls are necessary in our lives. If you consider yourself physically, what would your life be like with no walls in your life? You would be without shelter. You would be without protection. Now, where are you spiritually without walls in your life? You would be without shelter, spiritual shelter. You would be without protection, spiritual protection. This building the right walls and gathering these stones in order to build walls. Proverbs 4:14 and 15 puts up a barrier for us and a warning. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. What are the ways of the wicked men that you have walked on? We see a contrast here with Psalm 1, where we see the way of the righteous man who does not go with the wicked man, does not walk in his way, sit in his way, stand in his way. We're being warned not to go there. Where have you gone there? Where does your heart long to return to again in the path of the wicked man, these ways of death? We see the ways of death and we're told to pass by, do not go into it, or don't even pass by it. Proverbs 4:18 gives the contrast, but the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. We are put in this place where we are to pursue righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:22 gives us the fleeing aspect and the coming to a good place aspect. 2 Timothy 2:22. Now flee from youthful lusts. There's the leaving. And pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Psalm 19:14, which we already sang, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. We see the boundaries that are put in place are even in our minds and in our affections, not just where we would go or what we would do, but what we would even think and what we would meditate upon. So this brings us to our fifth step, to love the truth. To love expressions of reality. Jesus had made the statement, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is that reality. He is the good shepherd who speaks to us and leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so in this place of loving the truth, Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. How much do you love the word? How much are you watching over your heart and guarding your heart? Are you building the proper walls around your heart? We look at the Psalms, and the Psalms give us that statement in Psalm 101:3. I will put no worthless thing before my eyes. We're oftentimes marinating ourselves and marinating our minds in those things that speak to the wrong parts of us. But here, a love for the truth puts off those things, and there is a pursuit of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 makes a fearful statement, describing those who perish, and here's why they perished. Those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. When we look at our lives and we look at the ways that we spend our time and we look at our affection and the things that bring us the most joy, we have to look and ask, do I love the truth? Is it my greatest love? Do I love reality as Christ proclaims it? Or am I like those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth? Romans 12:9, let love be without hypocrisy, hating what is evil and clinging to what is good. 2 Corinthians 10:5 describes the struggle and the battle that will constantly be taking place in the believer's life. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of Christ. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Romans 1:21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We find ourselves in that place in various degrees that our hearts are darkened. It's like our brain or our head is in the fog, a fog of sin and a fog of doubt. We're clueless to Christ's glory when we continue on in our sin, and we need our hearts enlightened more and more. And Matthew 22:36-40 describe those greatest commandments. But the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Look at your heart. Where is your joy? Where are you finding the most fulfillment and the most satisfaction? Where are you finding yourself gratified, or where are you seeking to be gratified? Is it in a love for the law? Is it in a love for Christ? Is it in a love for what He says? There is a hardness of heart that is to be being put off, and a love and a trust in Christ, our rock and our Redeemer, that is to be gathered and put on. He is that good wall. He is that good protection. He is that great love of our life where no one else can be. No one else can occupy. No one else can satisfy your need for an eternal relationship. There is a putting off and a shunning, a throwing away of everything that would occupy that place of Christ in your heart as you would gather and as you would embrace those things that are good and true and eternal. Christ and His Word. Gather, scatter, embrace, and shun for Christ's sake. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You for having given us Your truth. Help us to look at our hearts and to look at our lives, to look with that critical eye, to see what is true, what is lovely, what is pure, what is eternal, and to look and find those things that are just mere imitations that get in the way of truly loving You. And may we put off those things as we put on a more sincere love for Christ. It is in His name that we pray. Amen.